Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke, first chapter, verses 47 through 55, if you would like to join along in your Bibles. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Amen.
Hamish, what child is this? Let's all stand.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Let's remain standing now for our gospel lesson. Gospel lesson today comes from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. Hear these words. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." And as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd again about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And now will you bow your heads and pray with me. O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Today, the third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of joy, we lit that pink candle today, realizing that it's close to the coming of Christmas, and Jim read that beautiful passage of Mary's song when she was told that she was going to be with child. You know, it may be inappropriate at this time of year to talk about maybe some of the disappointments that happen, especially on this Sunday of joy. You know, sometimes it's supposed to be the season of joy, but not for everyone. Sometimes as Christmas approaches, we're filled with some disappointment about what happens in our expectations. Sometimes we become people we don't even recognize. Like last night, my wife was preparing for the county board Christmas dinner at our house. And I woke up yesterday morning and did not recognize her because she was in that taskmaster role. And nothing could be out of place. And Mariette and I looked at each other and said the words sometimes that we say at Christmas. It's Christmas and we're all in misery. It gets stressful. And one of the things that this does for us, especially when we're expecting something and it doesn't happen. And this is captured in the movies. I want to just show you this little clip.
I have a delivery for Clark W. Griswold. I was supposed to deliver it yesterday, but it fell between the seats. I didn't see it. I'm sorry. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I can't believe it.
What is it? A letter confirming your reservation at the Nut House?
It's from my company.
Your bonus.
My bonus.
Open it, Clark. Open it.
Yeah, I hope it's a fort, Clark.
That you do, Eddie.
Oh,
I was afraid of this time.
Are you going to bawl all over it, or are you going to open it?
Oh, I was going to wait till tomorrow to tell you all this, but what the heck? With this bonus check, I'm putting in a swimming pool. That's it. That's the big one.
Open it.
I'm sorry if I've been a little short with everyone lately. I've been waiting for this bonus. To make sure the pool goes in as soon as the ground thaws, I had to lay out the money in advance. And until this little miracle arrived, I didn't have enough in my account to cover the check I wrote.
Tear the stuff rolls in, Dad.
Yeah.
Drum roll.
There's enough left over. I'm going to fly you all down here to help us dedicate it.
I can't swim, Clark.
I know that, Eddie.
Clark, what's wrong?
Honey. It's bigger than you expected?
Smaller? What is it?
It's a one-year membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
Oh, God.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
That it is, Edward.
And it is indeed.
I'm sorry, Clark.
This isn't the biggest bag over the head punch in the face I ever...
And we'll stop it there. Very, very familiar Christmas movie, but when we think about the joy of the holidays and our expectations and how those can somehow be deflated. Well, being a little serious now, this time of the year can be difficult for those who have lost someone, for those who are going through financial difficulties. You know, there's certain expectations that people have and we have on ourselves. And I want to turn now to the gospel message that we heard from John the Baptist, because where we see John the Baptist today is a very different place than we did last week. Last week he was in the countryside proclaiming God's kingdom, preparing people for the way of the Lord. He was announcing that. He was talking to people that they needed to repent, that they needed to get their lives in order, because when God comes, it's going to be fast and furious, and there's going to be fire and chaff and all those good things. But today we see John speaking from a prison cell, disappointed. And the one thing he knows and wants to know before he leaves this earth, he wants to know, is Jesus the one who was to come? You know, John had no problem proclaiming the coming of Christ to so many people, to kings, to different principalities. But now here he is in prison, and he's disheartened. He's disheartened because things now are really different. And he's been put there by King Herod. Now, we have to make sure that we remember that the King Herod that put him in jail was not the King Herod that was reigning when Jesus was born. This King Herod was his son, Herod Antipas. And this King Herod, if you want the goods on him, seduced his brother's wife and married her. But first, he killed his brother. And that's what John went to him and condemned that grievous act. And of course, you know, John, with the fire of the coming of the Messiah, attacked and went back at Herod, and so he was thrown into prison. And he knew when he was thrown into prison that his life as a prophet and his very own life was going to be short-term. And we all know what happened to John. But that one thing he wanted to know before he died was Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, was he really the Messiah? All of the things that John the Baptist spent his life being so passionate about, he still wasn't sure if this was the one who is to come. And so we see John the Baptist today physically strung out, emotionally on the brink, and spiritually wondering if all his life had a meaning to it. And we see him kind of disappointment. And you know, we see John as disheartened and disappointment, and things weren't working out as expected for him. And so I think today it's a good time for us to kind of look at his story and look at our stories and see what we can see from what Scripture has to offer us today with this. Well, you know, the one thing about John the Baptist and his disappointment was things were not working out as he expected. And like we all know, disappointment happens. John the Baptist, at Christmas time especially, we think about this. John the Baptist thought of a Messiah. The Messiah that he expected to be out there was a Messiah that was going to come with thunder and lightning and fury and fire. And Jesus came down on this earth, and he acted not like that. It was very different for him. And there wasn't the earthquakes and the trembling and the fire and all that. Jesus came in a most unexpected way. And the way that Jesus was putting out his kingdom on earth was so different than maybe the hell, fire, and brimstone that John the Baptist had in his heart. You know, my friends, disappointment came for John, and disappointment can come for us when we have different expectations, sometimes even faulty expectations. Do you remember as a child looking under the Christmas tree and seeing presents and can't waiting to open those presents? I remember when my kids were small, the tradition always was that it was Christmas Eve. Grandparents would come and would fill the tree with all kind of different presents. And I just remember the kids being there and just had this look of anticipation on them. And then they'd open the presents, and instead of this newfangled toy, what did they find? My mother always bought underwear. I'll be honest with you, to this day at 83, when I get that Christmas present, that's what it is. And I remember the look on their face. It was just this such disappointment. And of course, when you've got kids and you're like, don't look like that. Don't say thank you to your grandmother. I mean, different expectations. Well, we can go through that as adults too. As we come into this Christmas season, you know, our expectations can be totally, totally out of whack from what Christ really is bringing into our lives this Advent season. And sometimes when we don't have these expectations, that we feel cheated, we feel slighted. And I was just to tell my kids, you know, if all those presents would go away and that tree would go away and then you got it back again, you wouldn't be making faces about your underwear. Now, the second expert thing that kind of went wrong in John's case as he's in prison, as he's trying to find reconciliation in his heart, is that John was looking for all the wrong signs. And you have to understand, he was so passionate about what he believed. And so John sends his own disciples to Jesus and asks that question, are you the one who is to come? And Jesus says this to those disciples. He says, I want you to go to prison and tell John what you see. He says, the eyes of the blind are opened. The ears of the deaf are unstopped. The lame leap. The tongues of the dumb sing. And there were signs that Jesus was talking about right there. But these weren't the signs, as I said, that John was looking for. He was looking for in the Messiah something more dramatic. More what I would call thunder and lightning. Now, in the book of Isaiah, the prophet, it says, when the Savior comes, these are the signs. The wilderness and dry land will be quenched. It says that the desert will rejoice with blossom. But you see, folks, these aren't the things that impress people. Sometimes the signs that we want is we want the big and the phenomenal and the gracious. We want that big bonus. But this didn't happen. And so John found himself looking at the wrong things. And you know, those big and that grandiose, that just isn't God's way. God has a subtle way of working in the significant places in our life. I mean, if you think about it, in a manger, in a carpenter shop, and yes, on a cross. And now the third reason why sometimes we suffer disappointment, and something that John suffered, was sometimes we need to wait upon the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't give God the time that He wants and needs and wills to work. We have our own clock running. We have our own reasons why things should happen at a certain time. And when they do, we can't reconcile that self to us. But you see, that's not God's way. God has a way of working in a sweet and slow, in a glorious way, sometimes in times that we can never, ever see or imagine. And sometimes we fail to know that we just need to wait on the Lord. Yes, we pray. Yes, we place our petitions at Christ's feet. But he will work in and through his only way. But I don't know about you, but I can be one of those very, very, very impatient people. I'll pray for something, and then I'll look for like immediate results. It doesn't happen. Many people get into that pattern, and that's where disappointment happens. They think God is not listening. Maybe God isn't even real. He hasn't heard me. He doesn't understand what I'm going through. And so at this time, when John the Baptist in that jail cell, knowing what was going on, he needed just to wait upon the Lord because Jesus was coming back to him through his disciples with a wonderful, wonderful message. Now, I think probably one of our biggest things at Christmas time is impatience. You know, wanting things just to line up, to fall in place, to be perfect. But God has a way and a will to work. You know, the fact that we celebrate that scripture of John the Baptist is one of God's way of affirming what he did in the kingdom that came. Did you notice after his disciples leave, Jesus isn't annoyed that John asked that. Jesus has these words of affirmation. He said, of all the men born of woman, there's no one better than John the Baptist. But yet, even the least believer is going to be far outstanding of his character. Now, how about you at this time of the year? Is your life filled with faulty expectations, or are you looking for the wrong signs, or are you failing to wait on God? I mean, these are all human natural things that happen to us at Christmas. Are we looking in the wrong places, and are we waiting upon the Lord? And so today, as we hear these scriptures, I want you to think about those things that John struggled with, those things that we struggled with. You know, strange things happen to us when we get our priorities out of whack. I remember when I was a school teacher teaching elementary school, and in those days you could put on Christmas pageants and all kind of things. And I'll never forget kindergarten. I taught elementary school music for a couple of years, and first grade to sixth grade was fine, but kindergarten was just a very difficult age for me. I had a hard time controlling them. They were, and maybe those of you that were teachers understand what you mean. I mean, it's like, for some reason, when I walked into the classroom, things went nuts. They were just a mess. Well, it was the all-school Christmas program. Back in those days, we did those. And I thought, what am I going to do with these squirrely kindergartners? And I thought to myself, well, the one thing we can do is we can have the kids singing, and then I'll have the real squirrely ones. I'll put them out in front with Christmas, with letters that are going to spell different things about Christmas. And I thought, you know, you put the cardboard in the front and the cardboard in the back, and I even had it tied on the side so they couldn't be squirming out of it. And I was just, the rehearsal went so well. It went so well. And so what the kids were supposed to do is they were supposed to spell the word star. And they came out on stage. And as they came out on stage, of course, one bumped into another. And the curtain opened, and it was time for their word. And instead of star, it was cats. Wow. I tell you that story, though, because it's what happens when our priorities get out of whack. It, what happens when our focus becomes tinted? You see, the Bethlehem story, the birth of Jesus Christ, teaches us about expectations, about signs, and about patience. And God begins with a simple babe in a manger, humble surroundings, and he works slowly but surely. And because of this, we have joy. That beautiful reading that Jim read of Mary when she was told of the birth of, that she was going to be the mother of our Lord. And she rejoiced. And imagine the faulty expectations maybe that people had of who would be the mother of the Messiah. Or would the Messiah even have a mother? Would the Messiah even come in human forms? Who would have thought that God would choose a young girl named Mary? Who would have thought that he would work in the way that he did in her life? But what we hear from Mary is that we call it the song of joy, the Magnificat. And my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And so, as we come to a conclusion of this Sunday of joy, I wish you that joy that only comes from God. You know, joy is not something we can make happen. It overcomes us. It overwhelms us. It surprises us. You can't make it happen. And that's God's gift to us. And so as we encounter things during this holiday season that might make us lose that joy, let us remember that God is for us and no one, anyone can be against us. And I pray the peace of Jesus Christ be with you this Sunday, that your priorities will all be in order, and that you will know about the love and coming of Jesus at Christmas. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you so much for your scripture. We thank you for this tremendous, tremendous gift that you give us at Christmas. Lord, we thank you for guiding us through those times when we're disappointed or disheartened. And Father, we just ask that as we continue on in this Advent season, that we would know that you are the one. You're the one. And we honor and bless and praise you